It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 8:07 at News Talk WSB. This is Lawn and Garden, the last hour of Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia Gardener. I'm here to help you be more successful. And all you have to do is call 404-872-0750. Talk to Ashley Frasco for just a couple of minutes and then talk to me and we will get it taken care of. And I have an extra special guest this morning. My friend Ashton Ritchie from the Scotts Company is here to answer specifically questions about lawns. If you have a question about your fescue lawn you want to get started with this fall, or if you have questions about your warm season lawn, Bermuda, centipede, zoysia, St. Augustine, if you have specific questions about them, fertilizing and caring for them, this is a place. 404-872-0750. And Ashley reminded me that we need to say one thing about the big roof giveaway this coming weekend. Of course, is the big fall Atlanta home show. Go to wsbradio.com. Enter for your chance to win a new roof valued at $15,000, courtesy of Team Roofing and Construction at the Fall Atlanta Home Show and Outdoor Living Expo. Details, official rules at wsbradio.com. That's a big roof, Ashton.
Yeah,
$15,000.
But that would be very helpful for somebody that needed a new roof, for
sure. Absolutely. I just got mine roofed last year and probably not eligible to be in this contest anyway, but $15,000, that's a big house.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
yeah, but they're using good material. You know, this is a good roof.
That's a good roof. That's a good team roofing. Sure, good people. All right, let's go to the phones. We got Kathy. Where's my little button here? Kathy in Rutledge, Georgia, joined us on Lawn and Garden. Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We are great. How can we help, Kathy?
I have a question about hydrangea and gardenia pruning. I'm just wondering, can I still do that?
Maybe and no. How about two
<Okay.
laughs> sort of answers there?
Okay.
With gardenias, I mean, Ashley, you may have the same or maybe not the same experience, but it seems to me that no matter when I prune them, I still get flowers the next year. They bloom on both new and old wood. Some of the varieties that I have seem to. So for gardenias, I'm going to say, yeah, go ahead and do it. You'll probably still get flowers, Kathy. For hydrangeas, if it's the common blue, pink, you know, grandma hydrangea, prune it now and no flowers next year because the buds are already there. I looked yesterday on mine and the little flower buds are just about half an inch long on the tips of the branches, and that's where the flowers will be next year.
Right. Okay. That was my question. Thank you for helping.
But to clarify, remember I said the hydrangea would be the pink and the blue, right? But if you have the other kinds of hydrangeas, like the limelight and paniculata, PG, and
Endless Summer,
good answer. Annabelle, some of those kinds of hydrangeas, which are different from the pink and the blue kind, they could be pruned now, and particularly on limelight. Boy, those things are sort of brown and ugly right now, so go ahead and take those off. They don't need to, those brown flower heads don't need to stay on for the wintertime.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hey, Kathy, thanks for calling. 404-872-0750 gets you in to take Kathy's place, like Tom in Roswell. He joins us this morning. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Walter. How you doing today?
Just fine, Tom. How can we help?
Well, for the first time ever, I planted peanuts in my little backyard garden, and they're doing really well.
Right.
They're all over a foot high. They got a lot of pegs on them.
Good.
And now the squirrel population and the chipmunks, something is out there eating my peanuts.
Yeah.
And I would like to figure out a way to safely keep them out. I don't want to hurt any of them. I thought, you know, the other day I sprayed it with some deer off just to see if maybe they wouldn't be able to smell the darn things. So, you know, any advice I'd appreciate.
Let me add three more creatures that could be eating your peanuts besides the squirrels and the chipmunks. Voles, mice, and rats. You've got three other things that live in your yard, perhaps, that would be very happy, I would say, to eat a peanut out of Tom's garden.
Oh, gee.
But all of them, I don't think any repellent, any spray is particularly effective at keeping them out of there. If the you know, even the hot pepper sprays and things like that that are advertised to repel animals, just really, in my experience, don't do much. So about all you got is physical.
Yeah, we had good luck with the scarecrow motion detector sprinkler.
That works better for the big animals, doesn't
it? But it can detect depending upon how you set it.
It can be more sensitive. Right.
But the thing about for deer, we use it at nighttime and turn it off during the day because Dudley the cat doesn't enjoy getting sprayed during the daytime. So.
Our neighbor has one of those sprinklers in his yard. When we walk the dog past it, we have a lot of deer in this neighborhood.
Yeah, that's the downside. So that's more for the larger animals, but you can set it for the smaller animals. But unfortunately, if they're coming in the daytime, then that means it's set 24/7, and that's probably not what you want to do.
Let me give you a thing that I'm just trying this year, Tom. I have a neighbor whose tomato bed, she instructed me to figure a way to keep the squirrels and chipmunks out of her tomato bed because four of her plants disappeared before her very eyes. It seemed like when she first planted her tomatoes, and two were left, and she didn't want those hurt. And so I put a fence around her two tomato plants made of quarter-inch mesh hardware cloth, you know, welded wire you get from the hardware store. It's 2 feet high. It goes all the way around the two tomato plants. It's around 10 feet, I guess, in length around the tomato plants. I have not seen a single tomato plant disappear since I put the mesh around. If your peanut plot is not too big, Tom, consider getting some 2 foot high hardware cloth, a couple of wooden stakes to hold it up, and a staple gun to staple it to the stakes and see if that doesn't keep the critters out, because I think climbing up that wire is very exposing. They don't want to be up there where the hawks and the owls and the dogs and things can get to them. And maybe getting something just 2 feet high would be enough to keep them out of your peanuts.
Okay, what's that stuff called again?
A hardware cloth. Yeah, go to any Ace Hardware someplace, a big box store either way. Does that need hardware cloth or welded wire cloth? It's the kind of little squares, quarter inch or half inch I was using. Quarter inch, but I guess half inch would work too. Half inch mesh hardware cloth.
The only other thing I suggest would maybe plant some peanuts at the neighbor's house next year.
Get them all in, right?
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. So, Tom, that's the best I can do. Physical barrier is the best I can do. I don't think there's a repellent to keep them out.
Okay, great. Okay, thanks, Walter.
You bet, Tom. Thanks for calling. You heard at the beginning of the conversation there, Tom said that his peanuts were pegging. They had lots of pegs. And actually, I don't think a lot of people know that peanuts don't have peanuts above ground. They have flowers over them, little yellow flowers, of course. And those flowers make pegs. Were they roots? What are they? Ashley, you're trained in this.
Yeah, but it's almost like an auger to get work its way down into the soil to put the peanuts.
And the flower, it goes, this auger thing, this peg, goes down into the soil beneath the flower, a couple of inches sometimes.
And that's why peanuts grow better in like a sandier soil it's a little bit easier to break through.
Exactly. And so those pegs, that's what Tom was referring to, the pegs from the flower.
He knew his stuff. I was impressed. I was very impressed.
The peanuts. I was too. I think this man knows his peanuts. He sure does. Let's go to the phones again. We got Jan in Millersville. Hey, Jan, good morning.
Good morning. So we have built a really nice fire pit in our backyard, and part of it, most of it, faces on one side, our neighbors, the side of their house. They have their air conditioning unit and their utility boxes as our view. So we thought, let's plant a couple of trees, you know, in between there and kind of improve the view.
Yeah.
I was thinking, too, that I've read about, but I don't know. Cherry laurel or Leyland cypress, because we'd like something that would grow kind of thick and make a good screen.
Now, Ashton, didn't you have a cherry laurel between your house and the next house, Ashton?
Yes. And I think the variety that was recommended by our friend Bruce Holiday was Bright and Tight.
Yeah.
Yep, I've heard of it.
And that's the one that, and it went well. The thing about it, we knew we had shade. Because a lot of times between two houses, you're gonna have shade, and so the cherry laurel was one of the few options that we had with the shade.
I would say not Leyland cypress, Jan, because Leylands just get too big.
They get really big,
way big for you.
Right, I've heard that, and we were kind of leaning toward the cherry laurel because I've seen them, and they are nice and thick but would you say that it would grow fairly quickly? Maybe the cherry laurel, in a few years or.
I think so. Yeah. In fact, we have some in some other places that we give them a pretty good pruning every year to keep them the size that we want.
Uh-huh.
Is there another tree, a third idea, or that you might think we might also like?
Arborvitae is maybe a solution. Is an evergreen, needled evergreen, not a broadleaf evergreen like the cherry laurel is, but arborvitae is often used as a screening plant.
Camassipis, maybe.
Yeah, it's pretty big, unless you know a variety of Camassipis that's sort of small.
Is it sunny or shady?
It's a combination. It's mostly shady, though we have a fairly, a lot of trees in our yard, but not in our neighbor's yard. So I would say it's partly sunny.
And some of the hollies.
Yeah, where's the Savannah holly, which is...
I don't know. That's why I go to your website.
Exactly, me either, because I can't remember the Savannah.
Anytime I have a question, I go to your website.
Go to my website, Jan, and type in the word holly in the search line and see which hollies are the tall ones, which one are the short ones and the round ones and the dwarf ones. And that's where you get all the information you need to know about choosing hollies. But Ashton and I are just feeble-minded this morning.
I think what I'm impressed with your website is the search.
Search
just works so great. You put one word in there and bam, you've got exactly what you're looking for.
Good. That'll help me.
All right, Jan.
Thank you.
You bet. See you soon. It's 8:18 at News Talk WSB. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellis weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves and the lawn and garden advice you need.
All right, quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Today, mix of sun and clouds, high 89, low 72. Tomorrow, mix of clouds and sun, high of 89, low of 72. And Monday, back to a mix of sun and clouds, high of 89, low of 72. Pretty much the same all 3 days this weekend. Look out for traffic downtown. We are keeping you updated on that. Don't forget, we are the home of the dogs here at News Talk WSB. The pregame show this morning starts at 11:30. For us against the Austin Peay Governors. And I'm not going to say what the Austin Peay chant is because it's not appropriate to use on the Lawn and Garden Show.
And that's in Clarksville, Tennessee, aren't they?
I believe it is. They'll be here. And, of course, Kirby Smart says, watch out for the Austin Peay Governors. You just don't know what they have up their sleeves. Ann in Peachtree Corners joins us. Hey, Ann. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Ann. What's up?
Well, I have a little gem, Southern Magnolia, which has been in the ground about 25 years, and it's about 100 feet tall, I would say.
Oh, that's a big little gem magnolia.
Yeah,
Come on.
It has blooms on it, and it looks pretty healthy, but the leaves on the bottom part that I can see have looks like powdery mildew, but it's not. It's right on the leaf, as tough as can be.
Let me ask you this. Are the spots as big as a pencil eraser, or are they tiny like the end of a pen?
I don't have it right. No, I don't know. I'm guessing.
If you're noticeable and you say there are spots that are not multitudes of little bitty pin-sized things, I'm going to say algae, because magnolias get algae. Southern magnolia gets algae. And it's not really something that we worry too much about, and I know it's disfiguring to the plant. If you wanted to do something, you can spray with one of the copper fungicides. Now I've forgotten all the copper fungicides. The Conap used to be one. That was 50 years ago that we sprayed back
Someone
in the dark
suggested
ages.
Using that Bayer tree and shrub granules.
If we have an insect, yes, but I don't think you have an insect. I think you have a disease, as you have algae.
Okay, so what should I do?
Go get some copper-containing fungicide. And Ashton Ritchie is thinking of the name of the copper-containing fungicide, and he can't think of it either.
No, I'm drawing a blank.
In Peachtree Corners, Ann, you know what's around the corner from you? Pike Nursery.
Go to Pike Nursery, and you say, I
need some copper fungicide. And if the copper fungicide is not available, ask them for Daconil.
D-A-C-O-N-I-L.
Daconil. And either the copper fungicide or the Daconil, D-A-C-O-N-I-L, one or the other of those should take care of the what I believe to be algae on the magnolia leaves. If it turns out to be the false oleander scale, though, the bayer tree and shrub works for that. It's 8:28. We'll be back to more Lawn and Garden after news.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 8:36 at News Talk WSB, 73 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, alongside Ashton Ritchie from the Scotts Company. We're answering lawn questions, garden questions, any kind of question you want to throw at us this morning, 404-872-0750. And, of course, every Saturday morning at 8:35, we talk to our friend Mickey Gasaway from Pike Nursery. Hey, Mickey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm doing great because I know that people are going to have a great opportunity this weekend to get some great plants at a great price.
Yes, they are. This weekend, we've got our knockout roses and drift roses. Buy two, get one free.
That's a deal.
It is a deal.
They're like $25-some-bumpy a plant.
I forgot how much they are. I can't remember.
They ain't cheap, let's put it that way.
No, they're not. And so that's a really good deal. And they've just, this has been such a pretty year for mine. They've been, mine need trimming back right now.
Yeah.
But I don't trim them back as far this time of year. But I do trim them back some, and they do great.
Can you mix and match? Can you get the same?
Yes,
or do you have
you
to
can.
Get the same ones?
Yes, you can.
Okay, good. So the drift roses, my neighbor has drift roses in his front yard, and they look great. They have bloomed on and off, but it looked great throughout the summertime. They seem to be pretty disease resistant. Knockouts, we all know, they've bloomed forever, it seems
like. Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And so they're buy two, get one free, right?
That's right.
Okay. And then let's see, something else is happening at Pike that I wanted to mention about. Is it Pike? We'll plant them for you. That's one of the things that I think about this weekend because I got something that needs planting. I'm thinking, I wonder if that kid down the street is free.
Well, I'm sure Pikes will do a great job.
I'm sure they will, but my kid down the street is probably a little more reasonable in price, although Pike's very reasonable too.
I don't know about that. You usually get what you pay for.
Well,
no, they do.
Good point, Gasaway. Good point. So the Pike folks will deliver the plants to you. They'll plant them in your landscape, and you can have your Labor Day party without any problem. You'll have the plants there planted correctly. Probably not this weekend. Exactly.
Probably not this week.
Got a lead time on that. But
and they're guaranteed forever.
And guaranteed
lifetime
forever
guaranteed
and ever and ever.
On
right.
All of our trees and shrubs.
I think the classes is what I wanted to ask you about. What about the classes coming up?
We've got a class coming on up on on fall vegetables gardening. And I think it's 2 weeks from
September 22. I've got it here. September 22. Grow your own food.
I guess that's 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's going to be at all the Pike stores.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be good.
Oh, I know one more thing I wanted to mention is that Pike does that design thing, and you're going to have Meet the Designer is going to be one of the other classes later in the month. And so you could either book a design, get your own personal design plan done by Pike, the landscape professionals there, or you can come to the stores on the, what do you call it, the Grill and Garden Day.
Mm-hmm.
They have the hot dogs and hamburgers, or hot dogs, I guess. But you also can meet the designers and have a little quick conversation with them then, and that's free.
It's going to be a fun time. You know, if you go to our website, it'll tell you the dates for all this, too.
Yeah, I think that's around the 29th, I think, is the grilling and gardening thing, where you get the Kubota Joes out there and smoke them up real good.
Absolutely.
Hot dogs,
absolutely.
Delicious hot dogs, too. I've got to take a drink of water because it's a horse this morning. So if you're planting a rose, you know, that's one of the things I want to ask, Mickey. If you're planting a rose, are you the kind who really untangles the roots? Isn't that one of the things you're supposed to do?
I really do that. I really think it makes a big difference. I do it with anything. I'm really mean to the roots.
Do you wash all the soil off first, or do you leave the soil
off? I don't do that. I know. I think you do that, don't you?
I do most of the time now. I'm starting to wash soil and just know where the roots are and untangle them completely.
Usually I can get most of the soil, you know, just I can get it done. I don't usually wash it off because I don't want to get my hands that dirty.
True confession.
Especially if I don't
right
have old gloves. If I don't have old gloves, I don't want to get nasty.
All right. I thought it was Stan that did it anyway. It was your husband was doing all the garden work out there. Maybe he didn't want to get his nails dirty.
Yeah.
That's it. So let us summarize here. We've got the roses, drift roses, and knockout roses today. They're all on sale. Buy two, get one free. And that is a great deal on knockouts and drift roses. And these are in what size containers, Mickey?
I think most of them are 3 gallons. Yeah. We may have some 1 gallons. I think most of what we have are 3 gallons.
Okay. All right. The garden classes coming up September 22. Grow Your Own Food, September 29, is grilling and gardening. You meet the designers as well as eat some hot dogs there with the staff at Pike Nurseries. And is there anything else we haven't covered that we need to mention?
I don't think so.
Be sure to tell the cashier, of course, this is the Pike Nursery or Pike Pick of the Weekend, that the roses buy two, get one free. And if we wanted to find a local Pike Nursery that we wanted to go to and get these roses this weekend, where would we go, Mickey Gasaway?
At PikeNursery.com.
Indeed, we would. It's great talking to you. See you next Saturday.
You too. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You the same. 404-872-0750. Who's been waiting the longest here? Sarah in Dallas. No, Keith, Kyle. Excuse me. Kyle's been waiting longer. We got Sarah just after Kyle. Kyle, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. So this is a question. I put in a rain collection system, and I tied it into an irrigation system that I put in and pumping that rainwater through there. I've read good things about that in terms of comparing the rainwater. I'm specifically talking about turf, comparing the rainwater to, you know, the treated water you get from the city or the county.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to get confirmation on that in terms of how it is for the turf, but also just any considerations you guys would think that any things I should run into. I know I worry about maybe some algae and stuff maybe building up in those tanks, but just curious what considerations you guys think I might need to consider.
As far as water quality, I don't think there's much difference between rainwater and normal, you know, municipal water. The pH would be a little bit different. Rainwater would be closer to 7. Municipal water is around 8, 8.5, something like that, because they put lime in it so that it doesn't corrode pipes. But as far as watering your lawn, I don't think the grass is going to have any.
It's going to love it. It's going to love it.
Either way, lawn, either municipal water or rainwater, either way, the lawn's going to love it. As far as algae, though, that is going to be a problem in your tanks. Make sure your outside of the tank is dark so it does not admit any light in there. And every month or so, Kyle, depending on how much water is in the tanks, put 8 drops of bleach per gallon of water in, and you'll have to figure out if that's about a quarter cup in a 50-gallon tank or what it takes to put the bleach in there. That won't hurt the grass either. That much bleach is not going to have any effect on your grass, but it will keep the algae from growing in the tank.
Okay. Great. That's great feedback. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And how big are your tanks? How much storage do you have, Kyle?
So right now I've got about 2,000-gallon capacity.
Wow. What have you got? What kind of containers do you have?
So I've been buying those they're containers that I use for like food and stuff.
Yeah.
They're just big clear containers. So I'm working. It's new. I just did it this summer, so yeah. I'm gonna paint them or cover them in some way. I'm working on filtering the water as well. So
I know this summer it hadn't been a lot of use to you because it had mostly good rain all summer long. So Kyle's out there thinking, oh man, if we had dry weather, I'd be in charge. I'd water my lawn. This year, not so much.
Doubt. And the filtering, I think the filtering is good.
Yeah, filtering's a great idea because you got if you're taking rainwater, then you got the various twigs and needles and leaves and stuff out of the water flow, so it gets in there. And also, at some point, you'll fill up your tanks, probably, Kyle, and so you need an overflow method or some way of disposing the extra water that you have in the tank too. So, all that's you're a handy guy. You know how to work all that up, and let us know how it works later on next year when it turns dry again.
You're gonna be really happy when you have that dry year.
Oh yeah, man, he's gonna be
neighbors.
So happy. Yeah. He's gonna be the man with all the water out there.
But you'll have the water accumulated.
Sarah is in Dallas, Georgia, and joins us. Hey, Sarah. Good morning.
Good morning, Walter.
Hi.
I have a fescue lawn that's becoming invaded with mimosa weed. Is there something I can use to kill the mimosa weed that would spare my life?
Killing it's tough. I mean, maybe not killing it's tough. I mean, Ashton, you could use the Weed Be Gone Max. You can use the Bayer season-long weed control, the Bonide Weed Beater Ultra. They'll kill it.
Most of them would do a good job, and they won't hurt your fescue.
The question is
preventing which was the best?
I would stay clear of spraying in the days that we're getting right now with the kind of weather we're getting right now, and it's been kind of dry, but I would wait till the temperatures start to drop below 80. And that would be a good time to spray. And
I mentioned Ortho Weed.
Ortho Weed Be Gone,
Max. Bayer tree, season-long weed control, and the Bonide Weed Beater.
Yeah, the key thing is just look on the label, and it'll tell you whether you can use it on your fescue or not.
Sure. Oh, okay. So I had heard that my most weed was almost impossible to handle, but that's not true. Then,
well, it's a persistent weed. The seed seems to stick around in the soil for years, and so you have to keep after it. You can't just spray one time and it'll all be gone, end of story. You have to do it 2 or 3 years in a row to kill all the seeds that have germinated during the succeeding months. So it's one of those things you just have to be persistent. And I don't know of any really effective pre-emergent to keep the seeds from coming up even. So it's just like keep your eye open. You know what it looks like, Sarah. Kill it on site and keep your fingers crossed.
And the better you can keep your lawn, the thicker you can keep your lawn and mow it a little bit taller on the taller side. That would be helpful.
Okay. Well, my goodness, you've made my day. That's encouraging. Thank you.
Great advice from Ashton, too, that particularly about mowing the lawn a little bit higher and keeping the lawn nice and thick and heavy. So it helps to control the weeds.
One of the ways you can do that with your fescue is feed it at least a couple of times this fall.
Yeah, oh yeah, fescue needs feeding in the fall and winter. I would say 3 times, actually. Yeah. Maybe once, Sarah. It's about time right now, September.
Yeah, you can feed it now, and then about 6 weeks later, and then around Thanksgiving, just before you pull the turkey out of the oven, give it another feeding.
Sarah's going to time her turkey with her pre-emergent in there, too, or fertilizer
in there, you tell those people they got to go out and feed your lawn, or they don't get no turkey.
Thanks for calling, Sarah. We got to get out of here. It's time for Jeff in Dunwoody. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Hey, Walter, how you doing today?
Pretty good. Let's be pretty quick, Jeff, because Jason gets pretty anxious if we go too far into the break here. So what can I do for you, Jeff?
All right, I got Virginia creeper and some type of Spanish grass that is growing in my islands. I've got a really shady yard, and I have vinca and liriope and Lenten rose that I want to not kill.
Okay.
And so how do I kill the Virginia creeper without killing good stuff?
What was the Spanish grass? What was that, Jeff?
Well, I'm not sure what kind of plant it is exactly. It's about knee high when it grows, and the blade is about a quarter inch wide.
Yeah.
And it kind of has a stem, and then it has a blade on it on the about halfway up the plant.
Stilt grass is a possibility. STILT, stilt grass.
Yeah, it could be. I'm not sure.
All right, but getting back to the real problem is how can I control all these weeds and not hurt my lirio, my Lenten rose, and what else did you have in there you don't want to kill?
And just vinca.
And vinca in there, too. I don't think there's a weed killer in the world smart enough to tell the difference between Lenten rose and vinca and Virginia creeper and the stilt grass out there. I think, Brother Jeff, you're going to be pulling a lot of weeds. Yeah. The only one maybe that might be of use to you is if it is stilt grass. And you can look online for pictures of what STILT, stilt grass, what it looks like. If that is what you have, a pre-emergent does work. Halts works great. The other various pre-emergents you find at nurseries around town, Pike sells a good pre-emergent, but all of them control stilt grass. But the Virginia creeper, not at all. You got to pull that out by hand so you don't hurt the other plants that you like. It's 8:48. We'll be back to more Lawn and Garden after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellis weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need. Let's begin.
And a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. A mix of sun and clouds today, a high of 89 degrees, low of 72 overnight. Tomorrow, about the same. Clouds, sun, high of 89, low of 71. Maybe a little chance of rain, but it's basically going to be a great Labor Day weekend for everyone. What are you doing this weekend, Ash and Richie?
I'm kind of laying low. I'm getting ready to do my fall vegetable gardening. So I've got an area I got to get prepared to do some fall vegetable gardening.
My brother has invited the entire family to his house in Cave Spring. We're going there and barbecue and eat out tell stories and basically
we got a little bit of music going on. I live down in Serenby and got some music going on tomorrow and grandkids coming down with a daughter and we're going to have some fun. And I just want to tell you, I love hanging out with you. I learned
Thank
something.
You.
My thumb is a little bit greener right
Mine
now.
Too.
I appreciate you know, all I've learned from you, Walter, over the years.
Ashton, you know, one of the things that garden professionals do a lot of is listen to each other, because we think that guy knows more than I do. That woman knows way more than I do. So when I have a question about things that I just don't know the answer, Ashton Ritchie, Erica Glazner, just several of my friends that I call and say, what do you think about this? Because they
WalterReeves.com. WalterReeves.com.
Go to my website. If you didn't get your question answered today, go to WalterReeves.com. You can subscribe to our newsletter there. It comes out every 2 weeks, has lots of great information in it, as well as follow me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook, see all my weed pictures on Pinterest. Ashley Fraska did a super job this morning answering questions off the air and screening our call for this show. She is the heart that makes this show run. And the man that keeps us on the air, Brother Jason Byers, the best garden music in America.
Love his music.
Man, Jason knocks it out of the park every Saturday morning. Dave Baker is in the house. The home fixture show is straight ahead. It'll be shortened today because the pregame show for the University of Georgia versus Austin Peay starts at 11:30. My friends, I will see you right here next Saturday morning for another edition of Lawn and Garden.